Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Now he's making room. He gets to the 50. He gets to midfield. He gets to the 40. What an athletic display by Trey Ford.
He's magic. He is the magic man of the Canadian Football League right now.
He's got a line to the net. He'll come in. The shot scores!
Edmonton's home for great stories, local heroes, and everything you need on the Oilers and Elks. This is Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins, brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta Injury Lawyers, the heavy hitters of injury law.
Greetings, select members of humanity. Start of the second period, Bruins and Panthers no score in game one of their second round series. NBA playoffs tonight, halfway through the third, Pacers and Knicks tied at 64. That's game one of their series. Later, Timberwolves at the Nuggets. The Oilers getting ready, gradually, it's been a bit of a break here, for their second round series against Vancouver. It starts in a couple of days, 8 o'clock, well actually 8:20 Wednesday and Friday. The game at Rogers Place on Sunday will be at 7:30. That was announced this afternoon, and then other game times remain TBD. Sometimes people say to me, Reed, how do you decide who to ask on your show or try to wrangle as guests? And I said, well, A, first of all, preferably someone who knows what he or she is talking about and is also good at communicating it. Maybe they got a little bit of a sense of humor, can throw in a quip or two. That always helps. And then, you know, as a bonus, I always say, even if it's radio, handsome and athletic also helps. Well, we've hit the home run with Matt Sakaris from the Sakaris and Price podcast. Matt, it's Reed. How are you doing?
I'm very well. I'm glad to tick three or four boxes for you, Reed. I assure you that last one, not so much.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. I always try to give you a good intro because you are always very, very fun to talk to. I've enjoyed having you on the show. Just a quick, I feel like you and I need to do like a last time when Matt was on, like at the beginning of TV shows. So were on like the previous couple of Decembers, not this December, the previous couple of Decembers, and it was like, man, the Canucks suck. And then you were on like in the last couple of Marches,
right.
And you were like, well, they actually did better in the second half of the season, but it was too late. So this year they finally realized we'll do it for the whole season.
Oh, my goodness. For the first time in several years, Reed, we weren't covering a team that was out of it by Remembrance Day. I mean, that's just how dire these starts to the season were getting. And I think everybody who follows this team was approaching it with trepidation this year. When you look at the schedule, the first two games out of the chute are Edmonton, and you're thinking, oh my God, here we go again. You know, you're playing maybe the best team in the division, maybe the cup favorite, needing a good start for the first time in forever. And really, since those two victories, that got the ball rolling, and suddenly, you're absolutely right. In December, we were talking about a good Canucks team for once, and here we are in May talking about a team in the second round of the playoffs for the first time in 13 years.
Yeah, and it's great to have an all-Canadian matchup. I think it's going to be a really good showdown here. Before I maybe dive into some of the details about Nashville and what you expect here coming up, let's touch on Tocchet again, who I know we did talk about in the past, but he did it for a full season here in Vancouver. What's a trait or a characteristic or two about Tocchet that led him to be the right coach for the Canucks this year, do you think?
Well, I think he's an excellent communicator. I think he's a grade A communicator, and that goes for hockey players, and I think that goes for fans and media as well. He was honest. He let everybody know where they stood. He let people know what he thought of the team. Reed, they played after beating Edmonton the first couple of games of the season. They went on a road trip. They lost in Philadelphia. I believe the score was 2-0, and it sort of looked like that lifeless Canucks effort that we had seen in years past, particularly in October, and he came out blistering. Now, he is a former Flyer, so I think games in Philadelphia maybe meant something or mean something a little more to him, but he came out and said, like, who are we to think that we can just show up and win a hockey game, basically telling the players, okay, great start, you know, with two wins against Edmonton, but by no means have you arrived. And I think that was part of the problem in previous years. You know, not to quote Mitch Marner here, but, you know, Vancouver Canucks walk around here and are pretty revered by the community. So even the smallest morsel of success for young players, I think sometimes had a tendency to get to their head. Rick Tocchet broke this team down. He told them, no more blowing the zone, no more cheating for your own offense. We're going to be a detail-oriented club. We're going to play a specific way. He likes the term staples. He likes the term non-negotiables. And if you do those things, then you're going to play and we're going to have success. And, you know, really, he was able to institute that system, that structure, at last year, Reed, after he was hired, two-thirds of the way through the season. And so I think that gave them a jump start and it allowed him to sort of correct what he saw was going wrong in the few instances early in the season when they did lose their way. And what transpired was an incredible start to the season and, you know, one that they really, to be fair, have sort of coasted on the rest of the year. This isn't the Vancouver Canucks at their optimal heading into this second round series against the Oilers.
Okay, so, well, that's a good lead-in. What's not... I mean, I think I kind of know, but you watch them a lot closer. What's not optimal about the Canucks right now?
Well, early in the season, they were scoring goals aplenty. Their power play was sensational. And a lot of nights, frankly, it was easy. Now, what the underlying numbers told us back then was this was a team that was bearing an extraordinary percentage of its chances and getting that big save from their goaltenders, first Asher Demko, then Casey DeSmith, an extraordinary percentage of the time. So I think they looked a little bit better than they actually were early in the season. In the second half of the season, we saw really a transformation of the club. They went from being a team that scored a lot of goals to a team that had to win those more lower scoring defensive games where there isn't a lot of a room out there and it's not as aesthetically pleasing. The record for the most part held up. It wasn't quite as good as the early going, but you know, the Canucks really turned from an offensive team to a defensive team in the second half of the season. And, you know, Tocchet every step along the way kept saying, you know, these are the games that we have to learn to win. These are the games that we have to feel comfortable in, the low scoring and tight ones. And that proved to be pretty beneficial in the series against Nashville because there were not a lot of goals there, Reed, and there were not a lot of chances. And yet the Canucks were able to emerge with really a lot of their game not going right.
That was now. Look, of course, I didn't watch every minute of the series, but because you're flipping around or you know, I'm doing obviously a lot on our Oilers stuff. But I just found it was like, okay, it's. Not only is it scoreless halfway through the second period, the shots are like 8-5.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
Reed, like the 30-minute mark of these games, you would look up, and again, as you say, like, see, single-digit shot totals on both sides of the ledger. Like, it was the series where shots on goal went to die in large part. The Vancouver Canucks, I think, had 92 shots through the first five games, averaging 18 and change. And the second fewest ever recorded through five games of the Stanley Cup playoffs. They averaged 28 shots per game in the regular season. They were a full 10 shots below their seasonal average. And it's not like Nashville was, you know, lighting the net afire either. So, yeah, no, it wasn't the most entertaining playoff series that I've ever seen. But hey, given where this franchise has been over the last 13 years, the fans are definitely taking it.
Yeah, well, and this is going to be a fun series. Matt Sakaris joining us tonight on Inside Sports, setting up the Canucks and the Oilers. I'm going to throw quickly, because people have heard me talk about it, I'll just quickly throw you a couple things out that I think might be advantage Oilers, and then you can either respond to those or respond with things that you think are advantage Canucks, however you want to do it. Sure. I look at how the high-end players played in the first round, and the Oilers guys were clearly more productive on the back of a good power play, but some good stuff 5-on-5 as well. And I also wonder if it is one of the Canucks, you know, if it's the Canucks' third-string goalie, and I know he's had a really good career and he's a promising player, but I also wonder, you know, as good as Nashville has some high-end players, They're not McDavid, Draisaitl, Bouchard
Correct.
From the point, Hyman in front of that. Those are a couple things that, to me, might give the Oilers a slight edge. So, again, I'll open it up to you there.
I think it's completely fair. Stuart Skinner is by far the more credentialed National Hockey League goaltender. I mean, Artur Schiloff is still making his first dozen starts in the league. But what I say is, as we long have learned in the Stanley Cup playoffs, it's not necessarily the most credentialed goaltender, but the goaltender who's playing the best at that given moment that can have the edge. But I will concede that Stuart Skinner on resume would appear to be an advantage in this series, because we don't think Thatcher Demko is going to play, or if he does play, it may be much later, game six, game seven, something like that. As for the forwards and the offensive players, well, there is absolutely little doubt of that, Reed. The Vancouver Canucks had one game in six against Nashville where they scored on the power play, finished two of the 17 chances that they received on the power play, if I'm not mistaken, and didn't even score even strength goals either. Because, of course, two of their goals came in a frantic game four, 6-on-5, with the goaltender out, forcing overtime in a game that they eventually won. So, yeah, the offense dried up in a large way. I mean, we had seen signs of players who were struggling down the stretch of the regular season, Reed, and it turned into a full-blown outage in the series against Nashville. I mean, JT Miller did okay. Brock Besser wound up scoring a bunch of goals concentrated in two games, which allowed them to get through. But, you know, Elias Pettersson certainly wasn't on his A game, far from it. And a lot of the supporting cast and secondary scoring have been going through some dreadful droughts right now in terms of their production. So, you know, heading into this series, what I've been able to ascertained from reading the coverage and listening to the narrative around both teams is that Edmonton feels really good about their game, really good about their playoff series, and if they just keep on keeping on, I think they feel like they have a very good chance to survive and advance here into the Western Conference Final. I think even the staunchest Canucks fan would allow that they have to play a lot better, and certain facets of the game have to be a lot better against Edmonton if they're gonna survive in advance.
Okay, so what is a Canucks checkmark, though, or advantage that you see going in?
Well, Quinn Hughes, certainly. He can control the game. He can control the tempo of the game. He looked a little banged up midway through the Nashville series, but he got his game back in Games 5 and in Game 6. Secondly, I mean, we talk about how Nashville doesn't have a lot of great offensive players, and I would agree, Roman Josi and really, Philip Forsberg are the only guys who scare you in that regard. I would still argue that the Vancouver Canucks' defensive detail right now, the way they play team defense, has endured. This is an area of their game that they can lean on, and we're leaning on against some good teams, playoff teams, down the stretch. So if they continue to play this team defense and a penalty kill that's been the best in the NHL over the last month, then, you know, maybe they're able to slow down McDavid, Draisaitl, and the Oilers' offensive attack. I mean, it's obviously, it looks like it's going to be very difficult on the power play, you know, with the rhythm the Oilers are now in after demolishing LA in that area of the game in the first round. But, you know, if they can concede the occasional power play goal, you know, certainly McDavid are going to get their points, but keep the margins down, making sure that they don't run wild, have 3-4 point nights sort of things, and hold the secondary scoring at bay. That sort of a recipe, a formula, I think that Rick Tocchet and the Canucks would be more comfortable with.
Are you guys coming to Edmonton or staying in Van?
No, I think we're sending our reporter, but we're going to stay here.
Awesome. Okay. Matt, love having you on the show. Great perspective as always. It's always a blast talking to you. Yeah, enjoy the series, sir. Thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate it, Reed. You be well.
That is Matt Sakaris from the Sakaris and Price podcast talking all things Canucks, and also Canucks against the Oilers. So kind of a good recap of their season there, and a look at how they're playing now going into the series against Edmonton. So as he said, and as I was talking about, the Canucks firepower, some of them fired blanks in that first round against Nashville, but he also said, even though Nashville's not a great offensive team, perhaps not as good as some other teams that made the playoffs, that Vancouver still defended very well. And that might be what it comes down to, is that the Canucks are going to try to keep the games as low event as possible, which the Oilers are more comfortable in. You know, so can they hold the Oilers at bay enough for them to get their chances and goals? We're going to find out how it plays out on Wednesday night. It's going to be a 4 o'clock Oilers Now, 6 o'clock faceoff show, and game at 8. As always, you can get in touch, 780-496-0063. That is the number to call or text if you have a smart cellular telephone. If you have a dumb one, you're out of luck. You can email insidesports@630ched.com. Back in a couple minutes.
You're listening to Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on Edmonton Sports Leader, 630 Chad.
All right, appreciate you tuning in tonight, 780-496-0063. We have Bill calling in tonight. Good evening, Bill. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Hope you're all doing well. Uninformed opinion, I thought I'd see if you shared. The last 3 or 4 years, I don't think many teams beat the Oilers. I think they're inconsistent, and they lose to most other teams, with the exception of the last 3-4 months. That's been kind of different. What are your thoughts?
I think the Oilers at times are guilty of beating themselves if they make too many mistakes. If we want to go back to past playoffs, I think Colorado was flat out better than Edmonton and beat them. I think there were elements of the Oilers beating themselves against Vegas last year. I think that they are better at not doing that since Knobloch took over.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I put some extra pieces to what I was thinking.
Sure.
Thank you. Yeah, I just think they're, you know, I thought they had all the pieces. They were just so inconsistent and, you know, and as a result, beating themselves.
The one thing I would say too, Bill, and I think sometimes we're all guilty of this. I mean, as a media guy, I'm watching the Oilers more closely because I'm covering them and talking about them, and fans are watching the player they're cheering about. Sometimes you got to remember how good the other team is too, and how hard they're trying. Right? Like everybody's been saying to me, "Well, the Oilers got to bring their A game. The Oilers got to bring their A game." I was like, "Well, the Canucks also have to bring their A game." Like. You know what I mean? Both teams got to bring their A game. Because if either team is off, it might not be a long series for sure. But I do think the Oilers have gotten better at not beating themselves. Thanks a lot for calling, okay? He's gone. Okay. That is Bill checking in, 780-496-0063. More time for you to chime in if you like. And we're going to get to Kelly Rudy as well. He's presented by Sentinel Storage. They shoot, we store. Try 4 weeks free at sentinelstorage.ca. We still have a 0-0 game between the Bruins and Panthers, a little past the halfway point of the second period. It's Inside Sports on Chet.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.